Yeah, if somebody was sleeping through that, reach over and make sure they still got a pulse. We've been talking about fashion, and the Bible has a lot to say about fashion. The fact is, we started the series asking the question, who are you wearing? Because the only designer that's worth its weight is a designer by the name of Jesus. And when you wear Jesus in your life, it changes how you live. It changes your eternity. It changes absolutely everything. And it is a fashion statement, but more importantly, it's a faith statement. Apostle Paul writes this in Galatians. He says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you have been baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself in Christ. See, sin and clothing have been connected since the beginning of time. In fact, it's the heart of fashion, and it's the heart of faith. You know, sure, we like fashion. We can kind of change our look by what we wear. But the main reason that we wear clothes is to cover our nakedness, to cover our sin. And in fact, you can track it all the way back to Adam and Eve and the first time that they sinned in the garden. And it said at that moment their eyes were open. And they suddenly felt ashamed of their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. They tried to cover themselves by making a garment out of fig leaves. That didn't work. We know when you read the story, they tried to hide from God. That didn't work. They were trying to cover up their sin, but God uncovered their sin. And then you've got this interesting interaction between God and Adam and Eve where initially they kind of cover up, but then they admit that they've sinned. And God, at that moment, covers their sin. God makes clothing out of animal skin. And that clothing was pointing to the fact that God had a plan. That God had a plan. He knew it was going to take the shedding of innocent blood to cover the sins of humanity. And so Adam and Eve's new clothes, and we talked about this, were a fashion statement, but it was really a faith statement about what was to come. You know, Scripture says the only way we get to heaven is if we're dressed perfectly. And this is not about being perfect. The fact is, we've all sinned. We're all exposed before God. The fact is, the only way we're getting to heaven is by putting on the righteousness of Jesus Christ in our life. Paul said this, but clothe yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. Forget about satisfying your sinful self. And you go, well, how do we do that? And that's what we talked about last week, by accepting what Jesus Christ did for us and making him our Lord and Savior by wearing, you know, by allowing Jesus to totally cover us in our lives. The fact is, God changes things, you know, and he does it. And as we put on Christ, we're putting on his righteousness. We're putting on his love, his grace. It's this phenomenal wardrobe that's been perfectly tailored for us. And as Christ followers, and we got pretty excited last week when I said everybody's a supermodel, you know. Yeah, we're on that runway of life 24/7. If you're a Christ follower, people are watching. You are modeling the faith. You're modeling Jesus Christ, and we're not to be taking Jesus and putting him on and then other times taking him off according to the situation, according to the season in our life, but we're to wear Jesus inside 24/7 so that he can begin working in us, changing our heart, and ultimately changing our actions. And that it is a fashion statement that is really a faith statement. And when you have that kind of faith where you model Jesus Christ 24/7 in your life, that faith rings true. It shines to the world. And today what I want to talk about is how do we wear Jesus Christ, not just regularly, but completely. You know, the fact is, you experience the best that God has to offer when you wear Jesus Christ completely. You find direction in your life, and you find purpose, and you start living that abundant life that Jesus Christ promised his followers, and you find power. and you become stronger. In fact, when you completely wear and put on what God asks us to put on, you become invincible. Now, I'm just curious, anybody need a little more power in your life? You know, anybody need a little victory in your life somewhere? Because here's what I know. Some of you are dealing with relational problems. Some of you have vocational problems, you know, financial difficulties. Maybe it's a physical issue or a personal issue. Maybe it's a spiritual battle that's going on in your life. The circumstances may be different. But I will tell you, it's a fight. And it's a battle. And I know that some of you are tired and you're weary and some of you are ready to quit. You're ready to forfeit because you're afraid of whatever's in front of you. But the fact is, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're invincible. Now, here's what I see too often from Christ followers. They live these kind of scantily clad, the faith's kind of skimpy and thin, and they live these weak, defeated lives. And today what I want to talk about is a victorious secret, all right? Yeah, I woke some guys up. What? Paul writes this, he says, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all God's armor. All God's armor, not some of it, all God's armor, so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Friends, ever since Adam and Eve in the garden, ever since they disobeyed, there has been a war going on. Sin not only left this world broken, but it put us in the middle of a cosmic battle, so to speak. And it is a fight that we are all in. It is a fight for your soul. It is a fight that Satan and his evil forces are determined to win. The fact is, it's a fight that culture has now joined in. And it's a fight to destroy you. And it is a fight with sin. You were born into this fight. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between God and Satan. And this fight, you need to know, is not of equals. And the fact is, Satan is inferior to God's power. Satan cannot touch you. He cannot hurt you. He has no power against God. The fact is, Satan, he failed in overthrowing God. That was his intent initially. And then he changed his strategy because he knew he couldn't win. The fact is, he decided that what he would do is attack God's children, because then he could get at God that way. And so if you're a Christ follower, you need to know Satan wants to hurt you. Satan hates you. He can't stomach you. He's kind of put a target on your back, so to speak. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your family, your careers, your finances. He wants to destroy your life. And ultimately, this is really what he wants. He wants to destroy your soul. Now, I've got good news and bad news today. The bad news is, you are in this fight whether you want to be or not. The good news is, if you are a Christ follower, you were born to win that fight. You know, John writes this. He says, my dear children, you belong to God. So you have defeated them because of God's Spirit, who's in you, is greater than the devil who's in the world. If you are a Christ follower, the Holy Spirit lives inside you. The Holy Spirit is greater than the evil one. The Holy Spirit is stronger. You do not need to fear Satan in your life. But I will tell you, you have to be prepared for the battle. You must know your enemy. You must know who your opponent is. know, so often I'll have conversations with people, and they're just walking around defeated and discouraged and down. And part of the problem is they do not realize who the real enemy is in life. In fact, if I was to ask you today, who's responsible for the mess in our world, in our country, in our culture, in our economy? I know some of you would go, well, it's the Democrats. It's the Democrats. It's the Republicans. Some of you go, it's both of them. You know, it's corporate America. It's greed. You know, it's this agenda or that agenda that's causing the problems. It's the media. And I would tell you, you're wrong in every single case. Absolutely wrong. Paul says this. He says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Just because something is spiritual, people go, oh, that's spiritual. Well, it doesn't mean it's good. The spiritual world is made up of good things and evil things. The fact is, our fight is not with flesh and blood. Our fight's a spiritual fight. Satan is our enemy. And I will tell you, Satan does not fight fairly. In fact, he's very sly, very subtle. He suggests things. You ever have a thought pop in your mind? And you go, where'd that come from? And you're kind of ashamed. You thought it. Satan put it there. You know, that thought of depression, that thought of discouragement, that fear, that worry, that sin. You know, all those things come from the evil one. And you need to know your enemy, and you need to recognize his tactics in your life. And you need to be completely dressed, the whole outfit, to make it through. Paul says this, therefore put on every piece of God's armor. Every piece of God's armor. So that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the times of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. God says, you can go the distance. You can still be standing in your life. You can still have victory. In fact, I would argue as I read scripture that God wants you to fight from victory, not for victory. You understand the difference? Victory's yours. The fact is, you are invincible, not because of you, but because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But you have to be prepared. And you have to know your enemy. And you have to be fully, completely dressed if you're going to be victorious in your life. You know, Paul, he was writing to the church in Ephesus. And he was a prisoner at the time. He had been in prison for preaching the gospel. And it offended the culture and the leaders of that day. He's a Roman citizen. And so Paul had appealed to Rome. He had appealed his case to Caesar, which was his right as a Roman citizen. And so he's waiting. He's chained 24/7 to a centurion, which was a Roman officer. He's writing about how to handle spiritual warfare. This centurion's in full armor. And the Holy Spirit inspires Paul in that moment. See, Paul gets this fashion idea that's really a faith design when you get to the bottom of it. He talks about the armor of God. Now, there are six pieces of armor, six pieces in the wardrobe. We're going to look at three of them, okay? And then we'll look at three of them next week. Paul starts out, Ephesians 6:14, He says, stand your ground, put on the belt of truth in your life. Put on the belt of truth. The Roman centurion wore this belt. And this belt was something that held him together. You know, think about like what weightlifters wear. It gave support. It gave stability. The belt not only kind of strengthened the core, but it gave a place to hold weapons also. This centurion wore the belt. They were prepared for battle at all, any moment. Any moment, any time they could step in, they were ready. The belt said to everyone that saw it, I'm a centurion. I will defend Rome at all costs. I am trained. I am ready to fight in a moment's notice. And it's a little bit like I was thinking about, anybody watch boxing or wrestling, MMA? I mean, you know, they get the belt. You know, fall over. You know, and a champion, they usually come in, they usually carry the belt when they come into the fight. You know, it's not so much of a fashion statement, but it's to say, you know who I am? This is who I am. I am a champion. I will defend this belt. I have been in this ring before. I was fully prepared. I was victorious. See the belt? Good luck. Friends, as a Christian, you put on that belt of truth, integrity. You put on that belt of truth, and it gives you a firm foundation in your life. It gives you somewhere to stand in your life. It helps you stand your ground when things begin to shift. You know, I don't know if you figured it out. We live in a culture that is into relativism. And relativism sounds kind of cool. It sounds hip. It's very PC. And it's really the idea that everything is relative to culture, to the situation. You have your truth, I have my truth. Doesn't matter if they're on opposite ends. As long as you don't hurt me, everything's cool, no absolutes. Christ followers, we stand on one truth. And it's God's truth. And I will tell you, it is absolute. But we have a nation that's into relativism. You know, feelings are more important than truth. And again, it sounds great in theory. But it creates a big problem. It creates a wheels-off mentality that leads to confusion and chaos. And I don't know if you've noticed, there's a lot of chaos these days. And people are confused. And they don't even know they're confused. You know, Jesus said it this way. He says, leave them. They're blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. People are blind. You ever watch this? You go, what are you thinking? They don't see. They're exposed in their life because they're not completely clothed, because they're not clothed in Christ. The fact is, they have no use for the belt of truth. Because my feelings are more important. And what happens is the core becomes weak. Pretty soon you don't stand for anything at all. And it's a choice. It's a choice we all make. It's a win or lose choice. You know, it's core to who you are. I mean, you can build your life on shifting sand. You know, follow the latest trends, latest fads, popular opinion. Or you can choose to build your life on the truth of God. Friends, when you wear that truth, you can live with integrity in your life. And you need integrity, whether you realize it or not. We need relational integrity. We need moral integrity and financial integrity and sexual integrity. We need integrity in every area of life, every single area of your life you need it. And I know some of you, you're really good at the compartmentalizing thing. Well, this is my church life. This is how I am when I'm at church. Yeah, this is how I am at work. You know, this is my work life. Well, this is my sex life, and it's separate from everything. And here we go. This is my relational life over here, and my financial life, and my recreational life, and we keep them all separated. Friends, integrity comes from the word integer. It means one unit. Everything needs to sync up together. And the belt of truth is what does that. God's truth keeps us synced up. It keeps you from being blind in your life. The belt of truth is not something you take on and off. Yeah, I like that truth. Yeah, I like that truth better. I don't like that one. Friends, we're never to remove the belt of truth in our life. It gives us stability. It holds you together in the tough times. Some of you are going through tough times and you're freaking out. I would suggest you grab onto the truths of God. You know, it keeps you grounded in your life. It keeps you strong. The belt of truth gives you a place to hold some tools in life, some weapons when you're facing some challenges in your life. And the belt of truth, when you wear God's truth, it says, this is who I am. It's a belt that champions wear. You won't be defeated when you wear that. You know, Paul says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. Here we go. And body armor of God's righteousness. Some versions talk about the breastplate of righteousness. You know, this is the armor that every centurion wore. It protected their vital organs, especially their heart. No soldier would go into battle without having on the armor. It's how they faced their opposition. I was reading this and I thought, I don't know if the average person today even gets body armor, really. I mean, police do, absolutely. The military, they understand it. They understand the importance of it. But Paul here, and I think this is what's hard to understand, Paul's talking about spiritual protection. I mean, this body armor of God's righteousness, I would suggest we think about Under Armour, all right? It's really, yeah, the Under Armour. Yeah, it's interesting, Under Armour, they've got just about everything sports related you could get. They've got stuff for football and basketball and baseball and tennis and golf. They even got fishing gear. And they've got this gear so that it can protect you. It can keep you, protect you from the sun or the rain or keep you from getting too hot or too cold and what have you. Paul, he's talking about God's righteousness being the Under Armour in our lives. It's to protect the heart. You know, it's to protect our emotions, you know. You know, Satan is our enemy. and we need protection. You need protection so that your enemy doesn't attack your mind, your emotions, your heart. You know, your enemy, he likes to get at you, to get you following your feelings, because he knows if you start following your feelings, oh, I just feel like I need to do, I feel like, oh, I feel, he can mislead you. God's righteousness will protect you. It protects your heart. It protects your soul. It protects your minds. It keeps your motives pure. You know, Paul says, who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Friends, when you're in the battle, when you're in the struggle, you need God. You need to stand in that holy place. I mean, who can stand there? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure. Pure heart. It's a hard one to understand, pure heart. I mean, pure heart means even when you've done something wrong, and we've all done stuff, you wanted to do the right thing. Even when you mess up, immediately there's a regret that kicks in because you wanted to do the God-honoring thing in your life. See, it doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you want to pursue God. That's a pure heart. You know, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And if you want to be blessed in your life, you want to be blessed in your marriage, in your family, in your business, in your vocation, in your finances, you have got to protect your heart and your mind. Because if you don't, you'll have an impure heart. And my question is your heart pure? Is it? Because Satan's strategy is very simple. Steal, kill, destroy. And Satan will promise you power. He'll promise you wealth. He'll promise you prestige. And this one really trips people up. He'll promise you happiness. Oh, if you just go ahead and do that. Satan will strategically take shots at you. He'll use movies, books, songs, philosophies, pornography. I mean, Satan will use whatever he can to hurt you and to cause you damage, steal, kill, destroy. He's aiming at your heart. He's aiming at your mind. And he wants to pollute it so he can destroy you. I mean, he'll go after your heart even by giving you successes in life. Giving you praise, giving you lots of applause, so that at some point you go, I don't really need God. You quit relying on God because, man, I got it all together. Friends, if you do not protect your heart and your mind, I will tell you, you will lose the battle ultimately. You might have a win here and there, but you will lose ultimately. You do not have to have a lot of talent to win the battle. That's the good news. But you have to have a pure heart. Not perfect, but pure, where you're pursuing God. Satan fears the person with a pure heart. So you got this body armor of God. You got the belt of truth. Now, anybody that's into fashion knows that the belt needs to match the shoes, right? Right? Huh? Am I right? My wife thinks it's funny because I think about that kind of stuff. She goes, nobody sees your belt. Why do you worry about it? You know, I'm like, well, you never know. My granddaughter, she was about two, And she was barely talking sentences, just barely. And Cindy was pushing her through Target one day, and Naya saw the shoe department. And she got really excited. She goes, "I love shoes, I love shoes, I love shoes." And she couldn't talk real well, but she got it. She likes shoes. She still does. Anybody love shoes? Yeah. I mean, there's just something about shoes, isn't there? Paul says, for shoes, woohoo! Put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. The centurion wore very special shoes. They called them hobnails. They, on the bottom, they had nails that stuck out. I would suggest like cleats are today for football or soccer, some sport. It was to keep them from sliding when they were in battle. It was to help them have solid ground. In other words, nobody goes into battle and goes, "Give me my flip-flops, I'm going," you know. Shoes are important. They're important to stability and mobility in life. Every sport has shoes that are specialized for that game. Some jobs, some of you are required to wear certain kind of shoes for your job. We have shoes for just about everything, don't we? I mean, when it comes to fashion, I mean, some people buy uncomfortable shoes, and what that's about styling and not really functioning. You know, we don't really worry about that, just style. My feet hurt, I can't walk the next day, but man, I got these cool shoes, you know. Belt of truths about integrity. Armor of God's righteousness, it's about purity. The shoes of peace are about stability and mobility in our lives. Once in a while, we'll have a new guy show up to play hoops, and invariably, I'll watch them, and they're like slipping and sliding all over the court, and finally, they'll say something like, and it's always very, very similar. They go, "Man, I am really out of shape. I can't stop like I used to." And I immediately, about the second time I see them slide, I'll take a look at their shoes, and I'll go, "Dude, it's your shoes." Yeah, those are casual tennis shoes, or those are running shoes. They won't work out on the court, or those are worn out. You need new shoes here. If you keep wearing those shoes, you're going to get hurt. You need basketball shoes. And so then I'll school them on what kind of shoes are out there. You know why? Because they're built for the court. I mean, these are my basketball shoes. And the fact is, I love basketball, and I love fashion. Do you know the swoosh here on the side? You know what company that is? It's Nike. Well, the swoosh, Nike, it stands for victory, speed. I was teasing. I said, "I'm going to be moving so fast up here, you won't even be able to see me today." You know, but Christ followers, the right shoes allow you to be prepared for the battle in life. If you're going to have a victory, if you're going to stand spiritually in your life so that you don't slip, so that you don't stumble, so that you don't fall away, you got to put on the shoes of peace. And that peace comes from the good news of Jesus Christ. I mean, that peace comes from knowing that God wants the very best for you. It comes from knowing that God has a plan for your life, even when you feel like you have no idea what's ahead. And friends, when you lack peace, what happens is your feet get really heavy. It makes you very hard for you to move forward in life, to face the future. It's very difficult to move. You do not have mobility or stability in your life without peace. I mean, if you're going to have solid footing in life, if you're going to have solid footing in the storms of life, some of you are in the storms right now, you need peace more than anything. that peace that surpasses all understanding, that peace that keeps you moving. And I wonder, are you standing strong these days? And I know as I talk about peace, some of you are going, well, peace means no war. No, it doesn't. The peace that God gives us is in the midst of war, in the midst of troubles, in the midst of trials and struggles. So if you're going to talk about peace, you have to talk about conflict. See, conflict and peace go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. Christ followers, we are in a battle. We are in a war. And my question to you today, do you have peace? You know, Paul talks a lot in Scripture about peace, and he usually talks on three different levels. He talks about peace with God, how important that is. Peace with ourselves. And then peace with other people. And we need peace in all those areas. You know, Jesus, the great commandment, says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Friends, when you put on the shoes of peace, you stand in a place of peace. And what you find is you can begin moving in peace. And peace is really, really important. If you have conflict in your life, with God, with yourself, with other people, this is my best advice to you. Deal with it. Deal with it. Address it. Because otherwise, you leave yourself open and vulnerable to Satan's attack. Because of Jesus Christ, peace is possible. And when I'm at peace with God and with you and with myself, friends, it allows me to stand strong. It gives me sure footing in my life. The fact is, it will keep me standing strong in those challenges that I face. Some of you, maybe the only reason you're here today is God wants you to realize you need peace. I mean, part of the reason you're losing the battle, some of you, you feel like you're losing, it's because you're not pursuing peace. That's why you're anxious. That's why you're worried. That's why you're angry. That's why you're irritable. You need peace, and only God can give you that peace. How do you get it? I don't know. How do you get it? I want peace. I need it. Well, Psalmist says, those who love your laws have great peace. Nothing causes them to stumble. Friends, the more you love God's ways, the more sure-footed you're going to be in your life. The more you pursue God's ways in your life, the less troubled you're going to be about what happens to you, what people say about you. The more you love God and follow His ways, the less interested you're going to be in getting even with someone or holding some grudge. You know, the more you love God and God's ways, the less worried about things you're going to be. Why? Why is that? Because you trust God. Satan wants to steal your peace. In fact, he's stolen some of your peace. And the evil one knows if he can steal your peace, he can put you on your heels and he can make you stumble and he can get at you. Friends, the shoes of peace give you stability. You wear them, and when you stand, you're able to stand strong, and you're able to stand against the devil's schemes, whatever they are. And you wear them, and not only does it give you stability, but friends, if you're a Christ follower, You need to wear them, and it needs to give you mobility so that you go places and you share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people, people you work with, people you go to school with. Share the gospel of peace, because we live in a world that needs peace. Because of Jesus Christ, peace is possible. Jesus Christ came to this world to bring peace. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for your sins and mine. And he walked out of the grave victorious so that we could live in victory in our lives. And when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you put on Christ, you make peace with God. And guess what? You begin to experience peace, real peace, peace that matters. Some of you are at war. You're at war with God. You've been battling, and you've been fighting, and you've been struggling. In fact, if truth were known, you're weary and tired, but you keep resisting. And I'll just tell you, it's time to surrender. It's time to surrender to Jesus Christ. It's time to make peace with God. And whether you're a believer today or not, you know, when you bow that knee, the fact is we need to put on the full armor of God. Some of you need to do that today. And some of you need to just say, you know what, I got to make Christ my Savior, because I want to put on that armor. But you need to do it. Let's stand for a word of prayer. We'll talk about the other three pieces next week, but we got prayer teams that'll be down front, pray with you. You know, my guess is there are several here today that the whole peace thing, you want it. Let them pray with you this morning. Just come up and say, I need peace. You don't have to tell them where, why. I need peace. Pray for me. You know, I need strength. I need stability. You know, I need to get back on that road of truth, you know. Just let them pray with you. I need the armor of God. You could say, I need the armor of God today. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you. God, we thank you. God, we don't like it, but there's a war going on. And God, we're right in the middle of it. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just surround us, that we would stand strong, that we would stand for your truth, that we'd lean on your ways. God, I pray that you would protect our minds and our hearts, that we wouldn't let Satan have a foothold in our lives. God, I thank you that Jesus Christ died. He walked out of that grave victorious so that we could live victorious lives. God, give us peace this day. God, I thank you for the love that took you to the cross. That gives us hope. Gives us victory. God, help us to lead lives that reflect that. We give you the glory. We give you the praise this day and every day. Christ's people said, amen. Let's worship together.